Well, welcome to the final week, the grand finale of our message series called Mind Matters. All through this series, we've been talking about changing the way we think, because when you change your mind, you change your life and your faith. Scripture says, be transformed by the renewal of your mind. God wants us to see blessings when others only see burdens, to see opportunities when others only perceive obstacles. This is why the Apostle Paul says that we should have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. Because even on the cross, he forgave his enemies, prayed for his persecutors, handed everything over to God, trusted his heavenly Father to bring blessings and victory out of suffering. And so when you ask God to renew and transform your mind, you'll be able to shift out of a defeatist mentality into a winning mindset. You'll stop pretending that everything's fine and start living with greater authenticity. You'll be able to reframe difficult situations, turning negatives into positives. You'll flush out the toxic lies of the enemy in your mind and dig new trenches of truth from God's holy word and stay calm under pressure. Because no matter what comes against you, you can still carry on, press forward, when you offer God constant prayer and praise. And today we're going to talk about one last positive mental transformation. I want to talk with you about the power of release. We all try to hold on to the good things we have, the people we love, the free time we enjoy, the financial resources, the skills, talents, and abilities that God gives us. It's natural to cling to these blessings and use them in ways that bring us joy and happiness. And there's nothing wrong with that. But something a lot of people miss is the power of a generous mindset. See, they think that if they share some of what they have with others, spending time taking care of an elderly neighbor, mentoring a young person, giving to the poor, being a financial blessing to others, that they'll have less for themselves, less time, less money, less resources. Fear fosters a scarcity mindset that says, you can't afford to give, you better hold on to what you've got. And they slip into this obligation mindset. Well, I'll just do the bare minimum, do just, you know, enough to get by. I'll give just a little, help just a little, serve just a little. But that's no way to live. God wants us to live with an over and above attitude, a generosity mindset that looks for ways to bless others. Scripture says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and try me in this, says the Lord of hosts. Shall I not open for you the floodgates of heaven to pour down blessings upon you without measure? God is saying that when you go above and beyond, when you go the extra mile, when you go through life with an abundance mindset, an over and above attitude, he will open the windows of heaven for you, for your family, for future generations, people you've never even met. Every good thing you do, God will multiply. That's what happens when you change your thinking. Stop holding on, stop clinging, and start letting go, trusting God with everything you have. That's the power of release. I heard this story about a young boy. It's a common proverb or story in many different cultures. It's about this young boy. He has a small bag of old, chipped marbles. They're not worth very much, but they're his, and he loves them. And one day, his father comes to him with a bag of brand new marbles. He says, son, I will give you these new marbles. All you have to do is give me the old ones. Well, the boy looked at those shiny, beautiful new marbles and then down at his old, worn-out ones. He loved the ones he had. He wanted the new ones, but he couldn't let go of the marbles he already had. He just loved them too much. He hemmed and he hawed and couldn't make a decision. And finally, his father said to him gently, son, if you want everything that I have to give you, you're going to have to let go of everything that you're holding on to. The boy took a deep breath, gave his father those old marbles, and as soon as he did, his father poured all those beautiful new marbles into his open hands. That's the power of release. When you open your hand, God will open his. The problem is too many people go through life holding their hands closed, holding on to their time, their resources, their plans, their sense of control. They think they're protecting what's theirs, but they're actually blocking the blessings. But when you open your hands, give, serve, trust God with your finances and your future, you're making space for him to act and to pour even greater blessings into your open hands. Jesus himself said, "Give, and gifts shall be given to you, a good measure, packed together, shaken down, and overflowing will be poured into your lap." You see, when you release what you have to God and trust him with it, it never comes back the same. God always multiplies it. It always overflows. Now, don't get me wrong. That doesn't mean every time, you know, write a check to a good cause or to the church that somehow you're going to get this new business deal that you've been waiting on and didn't think would happen, or this big check's going to come in the mail, you know, you didn't expect. It doesn't mean that when you spend time doing good that all of a sudden your calendar is going to clear up and you can go on that vacation you've been dreaming of for so long. That's not really the way it works. Most of the time, the blessings come in unexpected ways. This is what happened to David in today's first reading. For many years, he had been on the run from King Saul, the king of Israel, who wanted to kill David for something David really didn't do. He didn't do at all. And so David was on the run, and he was hiding in the wilderness with a small band of followers. And David could have gotten bitter, you know, upset at the situation. It wasn't fair. He could have just focused on his own survival. But instead, David kept helping others. He fought Israel's enemies, protected innocent farmers and ranchers from marauders and invaders, even twice spared King Saul's life when David had a clear opportunity to take it. And because of that, when Saul finally died in battle, all the leaders of Israel came to David and said, "In days past, when Saul was our king, it was you who led the Israelites out and brought them back." They knew David had been generous and protected them even while on the run. And for that reason, they anointed him king of Israel. David surrendered everything to God, released even his control over the situation, and God blessed him in ways that were unexpected, unimagined. That's the power of release. Same thing can happen to us. Whatever you freely hand over to God, whatever you freely give to him, it will always lead to multiplied blessings, things you never expected or imagined. All through Scripture, if you look for it, you see this principle of divine multiplication. You remember the story of the widow at Zarephath? She gave her last portion of oil and flour to the prophet Elijah. It was during a famine, and her jar never ran dry. Or how about that story of the young boy with 5 loaves and 2 fish? He handed over his lunch, and Jesus fed thousands. Abraham was willing to give back, sacrifice his only son, give him back to God, the son he had been waiting 25 years to be born. And God blessed Abraham with descendants more numerous than the stars in the sky. And in today's gospel, Jesus let go of his own life on the cross. The rulers, the soldiers, even the criminal hanging on the cross next to him, mocked him, told him to save himself if he really was the king of the Jews. Of course, Jesus could have easily done that with one word from his mouth or snap of a finger, but instead, he showed us the ultimate power of release. He let go of his life, and God multiplied that generosity, raised Jesus up to victory, made him the firstborn of all creation, head of the church, and king over all, as the second reading says. But not only that, he generously gave us the immeasurable gift of salvation and eternal life. That's divine multiplication. Jesus gave his one life, and billions have been saved. Billions have been saved. And so when you give of what you have, when you release everything, surrender everything to God, you're never worse off. It always leads to overflowing blessings. There's this principle in economics I heard about. It's called the multiplier effect. This is the way it works, as I understand it. Not an economist, but basically it works this way. When someone buys something, spends money to buy something, it doesn't just affect that one purchase, that one transaction. It creates a ripple effect through the entire economic system. So let's say you buy a cup of coffee. Part of that money goes to pay the barista, who then pays the grocer, who then pays the farmer. The impact multiplies far beyond that original transaction. It creates a chain reaction where everyone is better off. The truth is, God's economy works the same way. When you give, it doesn't just stop with you. It starts multiplying through you. When you release to God everything that you have, it doesn't end there. It multiplies. Lives are changed. Dreams are realized. Miracles are set into motion. I firmly believe with all my heart that the best investment any of us could ever make is in this local parish, or if you're visiting your local parish at home. Because every day we are changing lives. We are bringing people closer to God and helping those in need. Every day. Through our uplifting weekend masses, our small groups, our ministries, and now our incredible, amazing new international missions program. So take a look at this short video about missions.
The missions program at St. Hilary's was already thriving, but the next step had to be to go wider.
Going on this first mission trip really redefined my understanding of service.
And that is why we took the leap into the Dominican Republic. This is year one of 10. By partnering with 410 Bridge, we have joined a long-term journey of helping Hato Mayor create a stronger and more sustainable community.
One of the things that really impressed me about our team of 10 missionaries is that they ranged in ages from 14 to 80. It was amazing. Practically every decade was represented.
This kid came up to me once and he said, "Amigos para siempre, friends forever." He made me pinky swear that to him. Wow, this is the difference that you can make in people's lives in all over the world.
I really saw how the joy of the gospel was just being radiated from every single person.
Open your heart, follow the process, and trust the unknown. Coming to this mission trip for so many is a life changing.
It is not enough for me to read the Bible. I need to act it out. And that's what I am here today.
This has strengthened my faith in fellow man.
And being able to see Jesus in just the face of every single person that we encounter.
I kept getting asked by the missionaries, "What's next? When do we get to pick up a hammer? When do we get to physically do something? Are we going to build something?" My answer is yes. You are building relationships.
We talk about five ways that you can grow in faith. If you want to grow in your discipleship in following Christ, we talk about five steps you can take. We talk about serving in a ministry. We talk about engaging in a small group or the Christian community. We talk about tithing and giving, practicing prayer and the sacraments, and of course, sharing your faith with others. What I realized was what was missing was serving not only in ministries, which serve the people right here in our parish, but also serving in missions. Missions is where we go out and we serve the people who are not parishioners, have no part of this community, but need our help, and we can also learn and grow from them.
Y cuando tú seas grande, ¿qué tú quieres ser?
Enfermera.
Pero bueno, yo lo que soy político.
Azafata, senador.
Artista.
Piloto.
Everything we do like that, everything we do relies on your generosity, your willingness to give and to trust God to multiply your gift for the glory of his kingdom. Growing up, I always went to church on Sunday mornings with my mom and my older brother. And I remember one of the moments in the service, even when I was very young, 4 years old, I remember when it was time for the offertory, the collection. The ushers would come down the aisles with white gloves and collection plates made out of gold. They were so shiny and brilliant and beautiful, and they would pass those beautiful collection plates down each pew, and everyone would have the opportunity to put in their weekly offering. I always felt so proud when my mom would give me, you know, a few cents or whatever it was back then, and I could put it in the collection plate myself. It set the stage for my future faith development. Looking back on it, I realize now, those white gloves, those gold collection plates, they weren't meant to be pretentious. They were meant to underscore the seriousness of the moment. Because when you give in church, it is nothing less than an act of worship. Today, so much of our giving is electronic, online, and that's good. We encourage that. We want you to do that. I give every week online to this church. But never, please, never forget what a solemn, profound moment it is when every week you have the opportunity to give back to God the first and best portion of the blessings he has given you. So don't live with a small, stingy, just get enough to get, give enough to get by, shallow mentality. Shift into a new way of thinking, a generosity mindset, an over and above attitude. See, God sees when you go the extra mile, when you do more than your fair share. He sees when you serve fellow parishioners on Sunday mornings, or sing in the choir on Saturday evenings, or take communion to an elderly person at their home when they're stuck at home, or serve lunches down to our neighbors at the Hillerita, or prepare bag lunches for the unhoused at the St. Vincent de Paul shelter, or go on one of our mission trips to help those in faraway places. God sees when you give a portion of your financial blessings to support and build up his kingdom. When if you let go what's in your hands, those old chipped marbles, God will let go of what's in his. Much greater, overflowing, running over blessings. Jesus said, "The measure with which you measure will in return be measured out to you." So don't settle for the bare minimum. An obligation mentality. When you release to God, surrender to him, trust him with everything that you have in your life, it will multiply for you, for your family, for people in need, and most especially for the glory of his kingdom. Letting go is not losing. It is unleashing God's power to multiply. That's the power of release.